Hadn't the Lord been really good to us? Thank the Lord. On the behalf of, and I know I speak for everybody that's all of us guests, we do want to thank the Lighthouse Baptist Church for your blood, sweat, and tears, your food, and your giving, and your hosting. And it's one of the sweetest honey holes we ever come into throughout the year. And I think it'd be honoring to God if we gave a hand clap to the church, to the Lord. Thank the Lord. I bless His name. Thank the Lord. Amen. And we're honored tonight to have Brother Marion Atkinson going on to heaven. But his bride, his widow, is with us tonight. And Brother Marion fought the war in our part of the world. And thank God for men that blazed a trail. And we're honored to have her. Sam, where's she sitting at? Right over here. Thank you. We love you, sister. And thank God there's some scriptural widows. Did y'all ever know there's such a thing as scriptural widows? Widows that are widows indeed. Church widows. Y'all ain't helping me. Oh, Lord, thank God. Having been the wife of one husband, that's the Bible. Served God. Served the saints. Why did y'all get nervous, you bunch of Americans? I want to thank the Lord. There's some real Christians and some real homes and some real saints. And she's had that same sweet spirit she greeted with me with out here. She's had it on her for decades and decades. Amen. And good to have Teresa, Sister Teresa, and Diane and all them. Brother Keith was. Boy, I grew up listening to, we were all peers. And they was all my favorite singers then, and I think my favorite singers now.
Yeah.
And I thank the Lord.
I like it.
You know what He gave us to go home on? He gave us songs. He gave us saints. He gave us scriptures.
Come on.
He gave us servants.
Yes.
Amen. He gave us fellow soldiers.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gave us everything we need to get to the house on.
Yeah.
I grow weary with shallow, carnal thinking that preachers have.
Yeah.
It's like the church is going under in our generation.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I guess Jesus had a bad century. He was building His church so good for 2,000 years, and somehow we were able to mess it up. In the words of Ed Ballou, that gag a maggot off a gut wagon. Hogwash and buzzard puke. He said, I will build my church, and a few carnal Americans ain't going to stop him from building his church. He said, yeah, but the contemporaries, they're chasing after a rock band. Was you not there the day the law was given? There was a dark cloud on a dark mountain with lightning and thunder, and they took half their clothes off and got a rock band going at the bottom of the foot of the mountain. Mankind's always been a wreck. Jesus is doing very well on building His church. And when we got to change to reach Americans, you'll change, they won't. The love of God still works. I told somebody if we could get the strength of the old Southern Baptist, because I'm not being ugly, and please, whatever, tell your granny I love her. But we're not Protestants, y'all. The church was not birthed out of the defiled womb of the Roman Catholic harlot mother. Am I right, Brother Reese, Brother Mann? We're not Protestants. And neither are we briders. Brother Mann told us at lunch today, if your doctrine lines up with Catholics and Campbellites, Church of Christ, you might want to readjust. Just a hair. But we're old-timey Baptists because it's Bible. Don't let anybody tell you that I'm a Baptist because it's the closest thing to the Bible. If there's something off, show it to us. We'll tweak that. We're Baptist because it is Bible. Jesus obeyed his mother 30 years and he didn't even post about it. And then he left his mother. By the way, I found your post over in Jeremiah 50. It said the mighty men of Babylon are fallen and said they've become weak like women. Said they've become like women. And in the next verse said, and they shall post one to another. I found you in the Bible, you little effeminate bunch of whoremongering out generation. Anyway, leave me alone. Yeah. And Jesus left obeying his mother. Joseph probably died early on. He's not mentioned after that birth. And Jesus went from obeying his mother for 30 years. And then he went to obeying his father for the next three. Brother Derry Berry, the in-between and that bridge in his life, he went and found the only Baptist preacher in town and said, I need you to baptize me. Boys, we're scriptural. It ain't the closest thing. It ain't all roads lead to home. All them other roads lead to Rome. You might better be careful. Well, bless the Lord. Thank God for old-timey church. It's been working 2,000 years. And for 4,000 years, he was laying out a plan for it. That plan went well. And for 2,000 years, he's been building this church. Amen. I appreciate Brother Aaron McCauley supporting the meeting. I preach. Where's Aaron sitting? Hey, Aaron. And there you are. Hey, Aaron. And Aaron was about 4 or 3. My first year of evangelism, his daddy called me to go up to Dunlap, Tennessee, where Ryan Goins is now the pastor. And Tim McCauley, we went up there and sat, and a little shy boy. He turned red just being in the same room with you. And he spent his young years with me making him turn red. I set him up 24 times with girls in restaurants. It was great. And he'd turn red, and I was like, I hope he cries. This would be good for him. He'll grow up. And then he went hunting and fishing with John Dorsey all of his teenage years. And his daddy went to Philadelphia Baptist. And Brother Aaron, appreciate you supporting this meeting. Brother Reese Keys, thank you for supporting the meeting. I know we're not all going to part our hair exactly the same, but we need to be the same on some things. But there's something wrong with a preacher who will isolate himself permanently. And he's got that little attitude, and he isolates his church and isolates himself and refuses to fellowship with the brethren. I know ain't everybody perfect, and I know everybody ain't exactly, we do things a little differently. But we also know who the brethren are. If you don't, you ain't. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We must know who they are. If you can't identify a liberal, modern, reprobate, apostate outfit, if you can't identify them, you'll be with them in just a second. I need a little help right there. We know who the brethren are. And there's something wrong with a man who will not fellowship with the brethren. Brother Derry Berry, Brother Lamance, you tell me if it's not right. That man's either got pride, too much pride, to bump his elbows and shoulders with other brethren. We need each other. We need to sit over and say, well, I don't think I see it quite like that. How do you see it? And look at a verse. Grow up and learn from each other. If a man ain't got pride, if a man's got pride, he can't hang with anybody else. And then if a man's hiding sin, and a lot of them's hiding sin, And they can't go to that meeting. Because there's guilt, there's shame, there's fear, there's hiding. And what you will find, you'll find him in a mud hole with three other catfish bottom feeders. I need a little help. And so I want to thank the Lord that old time meeting still works. Thank the Lord. Go to Nehemiah chapter 2. I'll bring the message on my heart tonight the Lord's give us. Thank you again, Lord, for your Bible. Thank the Lord. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 2. For the sake of the young preachers, and I appreciate Brother Bryce and Brother Dunaway and Brother Hunter and Brother Schuyler and some of you young men that have stayed here in the meeting and stayed with us. Brother Howard, Brother Goodman, thank you. I get tickled at camp meetings. Y'all want a medal for like 30 seconds? This is a lot of fun. It's fun. It's the last night. It's going to rain. We can't get from here to there without getting soaked in a minute. No way. I do get tickled at camp meetings. Americans are just too busy. If you have a 4-day meeting, okay, if you have a 5-day meeting, they'll come and have to leave on the third day. If you have a 4-day meeting, the same men can only stay 2.5 days. You shorten it to 3-day, they'll come in on Monday and leave Tuesday afternoon. Same crowd now. And then if you just have it one for a whole day, they'll skip the afternoon and show up for the night. It's just a funny thing. I don't even know what it means, but it's hilarious. And Brother Reese, you think I got that right? Have a 7-day meeting, the same ones will stay 5, but they can't get that last little bit. Okay, that was worthless but enjoyable. I enjoy my own fellowship better than anybody. I'm one of my favorite people. Nehemiah chapter 2, before Micah Henson, Roger Henson family. Micah wrote that song, "If This Were My Last Day." Shout Jesus all the way. If I only had one word, Jesus. And I got to be with him almost his last day. I went to Vanderbilt to the hospital with his family. I think he died 2 days later. And me and Brother Gravely drove from Chattanooga and went up into Tennessee and were pallbearers. Micah, I love Micah. Brother Micah would tell me, he said, "Me and you suffer from the same superiority complex." He said, "We probably should be a little discouraged with ourselves at some point." Anyway, I shouldn't have shared that with y'all. But one time, Brother Micah looked right at Joe Arthur in a large meeting and they got up to sing. And he said, "Brother Joe, I love you." And he said, "I want you to know, if God ever called me to preach, Brother Joe Arthur, and if I could preach like anybody, I'd want to preach just like Craig Edwards." It was a great moment in our life. You get your highlights where you can. Nehemiah chapter 2. If you're sitting by somebody you love, tell them you love them. Don't be lying about it now. You'll have to confess it in like 10 minutes. It'll get to working on you. If you're sitting by somebody you can't hardly stand, smack them upside the head. That'd be a great moment. Husbands, wives, it's your opportunity. Mrs. Atkinson, please smack Sam wherever he's at. For me. Do it for me. I know you love him, but he's the baby. But do it for me. Nehemiah chapter 2. Let me read here in verse 12. "And I arose in the night." So see, verse 11 said, "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days." I need a little help from people that love God. Just saying Jerusalem makes you want to go. And 3 days, anytime I see that anywhere around Jerusalem, I go ahead and start shouting. Something happened there for 3 days and 3 nights. Verse 12, "And I arose in the night." So here he goes to he's got permission and the power of God to go rebuild Jerusalem after those 70 years. And he said, "And I arose in the night And I live streamed and posted so I could get all the glory for what God was doing in my... Oh, I'm sorry. That was my ESV. I thought this was the early service. Where's my polo? And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. How come y'all got to have everybody for you and everybody like you to do anything? Some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night. People that's got to have everything all together before you go, sometimes you're just going to come in on the beast you rode in on. I need a little help. God will do the rest. Amen. Count the cost. But you ain't gonna stack nothing. Verse 13. And you stack it, he'll strip it before he sends you. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem. By the way, circle the word valley, circle the word dragon, circle the word dung. Honey, before you ever going to go get anything done for God, He's going to bring you through those three.
Oh my.
He's going to bring you through a low place. If you want to write down alliterated stuff, you can write down suffering. And then you're going to hang out at the dragon well. Go ahead and write down the word Satan. Jesus had to start out His ministry with Satan in the wilderness. Moses had to live with Pharaoh before he lived with God's people. The dragon well. And then to the dung port. Go ahead and write down the word sin. And you see that port? It's supposed to be exported, not imported. That's to carry it out. God's going to do it. You're going to get acquainted with suffering. He's going to burn all the self out of you. Can I get a witness? You're going to deal with Satan. You got to learn the enemy before you go into battle. And then the dung port, he's going to get that sin out of your life. And I know that indwelling sin creeps up out of the marrow of our bones on a daily basis. That sin may be in your bones, but it can't live in your being. That port's supposed to carry it out. So you're going to deal with those three things before you get started. He'll see to it. And then we come down to verse 14. Now, if you'll deal with your suffering and with your Satan and with your sin, guess where you get to go to next? I'm about to run, Brother Lamontsey. Then I went on. I need a little help. Thank God for people that go on. Amen. Thank God for Jesus went a little further. Thank God. Zechariah said, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. I like that second mile crowd. And if you go all the way with them, you'll find out nobody even knows. They usually go a third mile. Woo! Hallelujah. Then I went on. And honey, if you let Him bring you through suffering and let Him help you with Satan and let Him deal with sin, then here's three things you're heading for. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool. And he said, there is no place for the beast. There is no place for the beast. That was under me to pass. Now he couldn't even take the beast with him.
Oh my.
Y'all heard about a camel that it couldn't even get through that eye of that needle?
Yeah.
Bible students, you reckon that was the same little gate, the same entrance? Had a man in my church Easter morning. Multi. Hard. But he'd been asking, he turned 70 and lost his strength, and he's been asking one of our Christian men for 6 months, about a verse that's bothering him, Brother David. He said, how can a rich man, that verse that says a rich man can't hardly enter in. Oh, he was there. I felt led to preach on the vanity of money for about 12 good minutes. Hallelujah. That rich man had his barns filled. Some of y'all ain't going to get to the final little spot, that which is the brook. Read on. See the word brook? That's water flowing. That's water going. Do you know the Lord ain't doing all this just to put chills in your spine? He wants to take you somewhere. I don't know if we're live streaming or recording every night. You can't hardly preach. It's so hard to talk about people when you know they might be listening. Our buddy in over in Alabama that just stepped out. The reason half of them's are leaving. It's called, I told the man, I heard an old man of God say, a country church will go anywhere with you except anywhere that requires them to go anywhere. The word direction. Now, boys, we've been having church so long in the South. There's about 2 million little church buildings with a goofy steeple and a handful of reprobates in there, and it's enough to get every backslid feller that ain't really called to preach a pulpit. I need a little help. And every young foolish man that won't listen to his good pastor. I said every young foolish man that won't listen to his good pastor. There's two knuckleheads out there that got a knuckle as big as yours on their head, and they'll get you to pastor them in just a minute. Let me tell you something, these little churches that are playing church, and then these big churches that refuse to let a man have real church. Let me tell you, they can take anything except one thing, and that's direction. We're going to raise the sail and go somewhere. Now, preacher, you can do what you want to, but just don't budge us. I need a little help. They'll fold their arms over their elbows and let you preach anything you want to, long as you don't go anywhere with it. I need a little help. That brook, did y'all get down there? The fountain, the pool, and then the brook. You know what that fountain is? That fountain's the Holy Spirit. It'll be in you a well of water. You know what that King's Pool is? That's that Bible. That's them Holy Scriptures. And if you can come through the valley and come through the dragon and come through the dung and get in the Holy Spirit and in the Holy Scriptures, in a little while you go down there and He'll strip you down to nothing and you can get in that brook because it's going somewhere. God wants to take you teenagers somewhere. God wants to take you young couples somewhere. God wants to take this church. Brother Dent took y'all somewhere and they dug a deep well. Now God wants to take y'all further. Advance where we're going. Amen. Oh, dear time. And so there's that brook. That brook. That's flowing. That's going. That water will take you somewhere. Jesus said, what did we look at last night? Follow me. What do you think? He just went over to a bench and sat down and was done, and then they tickled each other's gizzard the next 3 years? No, they went into the opening pages of church history and made a difference for God. Now, there's three brooks I want to talk to you about. I love to be an expositional preacher. I kind of enjoy being a topical preacher. Young men, I don't want to hear any young preacher doing any topical preaching that is not doing expository study. What that becomes, let me hear an old man of God that studied a while. And then if he wants to deal with a topic in four different places in the Bible, I'd like to hear it. But anybody under the age of that ain't spent decades doing expository, your topical preaching is really just whatever's on the top of your head. Not much. We don't need to hear it. And so this Expository is going to turn topical. There's three books I want you to look at. Now, I'm not saying I'm an old man of God that studied. That would be Brother Keyes, emphasis on the old. And that would be Brother Mann, emphasis on the old. And you're not getting out of it, Lamancy. Write these three things down quickly so you can study them later if I don't get around to it. I know y'all don't believe this. I get distracted and don't get all the way around to it. Write down 1 Kings 17. God set down Elijah by a brook. It's the brook Cherith. It's the brook that'll set you apart. Write down Genesis 32. Jacob was left alone at the ford Jabbok, which spilled over into the Jordan. In Genesis 32, and it said, and he was left alone. That's the brook that'll leave you alone. And then number three, write down John 18. Jesus crossed over that brook Kidron. And there was Judas Iscariot. And there was lanterns and torches and weapons. And there was the strong bulls of Bashan. And there was a horrible cup being offered to him by God. And there his best friends would leave him. And braggadocious Peter would take off running. And you ain't going to believe this. Beloved John would forsake him that night too. I hate that John left him that night too. But it also helps me to know that even the very best he had. Brother David, Brother Aaron, I remember one night I heard Ron Garris lay an egg. While he was preaching, he was my hero. He was my daddy's evangelist. About like you love Buster Seaton, Miss Tonya. And I loved Ron Garris. And that night he laid an egg. I don't know what was wrong. But that sermon helped me better than any of you ever preached. Made me feel better about myself. I'm not the only one. That guy's a human too. And even John. I'm quoting the King James Bible. It's the only one you can quote. Them others are easier to read, but impossible to remember. Little children that don't know how to read, and old people that don't remember their spouse's name can pull out that sword and still quote it. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled, even the beloved John. Hallelujah. That night, so there, that third brook. And I know I got them all scrambled. That's okay. I start with Elijah in 1 Kings. The brook that sets you apart. And then Jacob by the brook in Genesis 32. The brook that leaves you alone. And then Jesus in John 18, the first three verses. The brook that takes you across. To a cross. Oh, dear time. Are y'all in 1 Kings 17? That's where I'd like you to be. I'm not going to turn there or I'll preach 2 hours. I'll just have to preach as the Lord feeds it to me. And here comes Elijah. There, 3 years going to be a famine. 3 years going to be a famine. But he said, go, hide thyself. By the brook Cherith. By the way, quick note, 30 seconds. Chapter 17, he told Elijah, go hide thyself. Then go look at chapter 18. I think it's the third verse, you find it, where he said, now, go show thyself. I find it that people that doesn't submit their life to the Holy Scriptures, and people that don't submit their life to the structure of the local church, and people that don't listen to the shepherds, the God-placed shepherds in your life. Now, I understand that Southern Baptists have no pastoral authority. There's 3 women's committees, 7 deacons, 5, subcommittees, and about every 18 months they tell that preacher to pack his bags. And no pastoral at a Southern There's no pastoral authority at the Southern Baptist Church anymore because they removed the Word of God a long time ago. There ain't no authority there. They ain't got it because you don't deserve it. If you ain't got the right Bible, he ain't going to breathe on you. But I know that independent Baptists, about every third one of them, I'm sorry, but they're guilty of abusing pastoral authority. They want to boss you where God ain't trying to get nobody bossed. They're wanting to dictate to you things that ain't nobody's business. And they're not wanting to help you with their soul. With your soul, they want you to help them with their agenda. And little control freaks. I'm sorry. But I got news for you. How come God didn't give you a good pastor? I generally find up that God matches everybody up with what they're like. Did he not put Jacob with Laban for a while? Them two working deals on everybody in town and working them on each other. Help me now. You want to lie to your daddy? I'll give you a daddy-in-law. Y'all ain't helping me. That's totally free right there. All these people in my life. Well, what are they doing in your life? Last time I checked, birds of a feather. I need a little help. You said, that ain't in the Bible. I wrote it in the back of mine so I could say that it was. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Is anybody listening to me? I know you are. It just felt like a thing I should say right then. Okay. Now, so what I find is people who don't want to get in lockstep with God, divine authority, can't ever take delegated authority, and they usually have these two instructions backwards. When it's time to hide yourself, they're out there showing themselves. And when it's time to step up and let's fight and kill a giant, it's time to show yourself, let's confront Ahab, they're hiding themselves. I need a little help in here. Whoa, but people that are full of God, they'll hide themselves when he tells them to. And then they'll show themselves when God tells them to. Here's an easy way to get right with God. The bunch of you on the front row trying to be somebody. Not in particular, y'all, but metaphorically, allegorically, hyperbolically speaking. A lot of you up front trying to be somebody. God's doing his best to put you in the back and bury you and make you a nobody. And then some of you are hiding in the back wanting to be a nobody. And God, there's a big slot waiting on you up front and your spot's empty and your duty's neglected. God, it's time for you to be somebody. Better get in lockstep with God. Now here's Elijah. Go down to the brook Cherith and there will I feed thee. This is where God sets you apart. I'm interested in that little word Cherith. I would tell you the Hebrew word, but I couldn't pronunciate it when I did. I pronunciated it four times. Couldn't pronunciate it. Sounded a lot like Cherith. But anyway, leave me alone. So, Cherith. And I wrote down the primary meanings of that separation. Cutting. Covenant. You might want to write those down. Separation. And these are progressive ideas. Separate something by cutting it. Reason you cut it, it's covenant being made. Y'all ain't helping me. Them stripes on his back, God was doing a cutting and shedding of blood because there had to be a covenant made. The word covenant comes from the word, primary root word, cutting. A cutting, a covenant. That's what a covenant was to them in their language. A cutting. Blood had to be brought on the table. Abraham, boy, I was wanting to preach on him tonight. God's burned him on my heart all day. If I'd have sat by Brother Reese, I'd have leaned over and got me a quick, good outline. He's got that Bible knowledge. And on Abram, been working on me. On what he, Brother Man, on what he believed when he believed God. What Abraham believed when he believed God. But it's going to take some digging to get that right before it needs to be presented. And but he got over there, and I tell you one thing, he believed the Lord made a covenant with him and said, Abram, I want you to take 5 sacrifices. I think a young bull, and I ain't got it all in my head yet, and a young lamb, and then another animal, and then 2 kind of birds in there. I think 5 sacrifices. And Abram was to cut them. And in that same day, the Lord made a covenant. Some of y'all ain't never going to go anywhere with God because you won't let Him take you apart from everyone else and set you down by a brook. You won't let Him cut you out. You won't let Him cut things out. You won't let Him cut flesh out. 2nd covenant God made with Abraham, and maybe, Brother Reese, I need to work on how I say that. But He gave him that sign of the seal, the circumcision. And they had to cut that foreskin and shed that blood. That was a covenant. That was a sign of the covenant that He had given. By the way, we are old-timey Baptists. We believe in eternal security. That whole Genesis 15 sacrifice, the only reason there is a sacrifice, because there is one immutable thing. But it wasn't enough for Abraham. God's spoken word. Hebrews 6 said that by 2 immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. So the spoken word wasn't enough for Abraham. Now I need to say something. Y'all need to say amen. It was enough. God's spoken word was enough. But it wasn't enough to ease his heart. Not Abram. Abraham said, Lord God, whereby shall I know? The Lord said, I'm going to let you know of a surety. I dare you to study that word and see if you don't believe in running and shouting. Know of a surety. And then the Lord cut them sacrifices. And so His sworn, His spoken word was followed up by His sworn word. Oh. Brother man, give me a little help right here. First mention, we learned this at lunch today at Yoder's. I learned 2 things at Yoder's. I still like pickled beets. Yes. And the hummingbird cake. I love how they kill them hummingbirds and mix them in there. That's the best cake in Montezuma. But then I learned. What did I learn, brother man? You said the first mention in the King James Bible of the word sworn. The word sworn was when Abraham got done offering Isaac. Am I right? And the Lord said right there, because thou hast done this, obeyed my voice, believe me, I have sworn. I found out that was the 1611th prime number. Watch this. Tell us. You're interfering with my program. Take that out of here. Get it out of here. Thank you.
The first mention of the word sworn in that passage is the 13,627th word of the Bible, which just happens to be the 1611th prime number. Sworn. I swear. God says, I've sworn by my book.
Right. Now tell them that again, because some of them writing it down.
All right.
The 13,000th?
627th word of the King James Bible is the first mention of the word sworn, where the Lord himself said, I've sworn. And he said that 7 times in the Bible. 13,627 is the 1611th prime number.
All right, y'all are looking at me like a bunch of Episcopalians. The man said that God wrote a Bible and made sure that the 13,627th word, which is the 1,611th prime number, and that's the first time he said sworn in there, 1611. Don't make me throw chairs tonight. Don't make me throw chairs. I believe we got the right book. I believe we got the right book. Got the right book. Oh, dear time. And what amazed me, what I thought was so funny, Sam, I thought like 11 was the last prime number. I didn't know there was 1,600 left. I was like, 11. Yeah, that's the last prime number in math. That's as far as I studied anyway. Hallelujah. Oh, dear time. I have news for y'all. It's called a covenant. Now, they said my great granny went down to the fall revival after World War II was over. Because four of her boys survived it. And they said she went down to the fall revival and took a bell. And when they got in the fall meeting, said she took a bell and she walked around the outside and she rung the bell and shouted for a half an hour. What was that about? She said, because that when them boys went off into various years of World War II, said that she went behind the barn and had a covenant with God that them boys were going to come home. And said she had to go down to the meeting and thank God that he kept his word. Y'all ain't helping me. Oh, dear time. Hallelujah. She said, I don't know what it is to make a covenant with God. Because when a famine hits, you run to Walmart, you run to Granny's, you run to Egypt, you run to Facebook and do all that sly little, I suggest y'all support me stuff, instead of getting in a brook Cherith somewhere. He can't cut on you until you get separated. He can't covenant nothing with you until he's got your blood on the table. He already put his on the table. You've not yet resisted unto sin, unto blood, striving against sin. I'm going to tell you why I'm probably standing here tonight. Why God let me amongst my friends and my peers, 1994, go to Albania. And then in 06, men started going with me. Brother Robbie went with me in 06, and Brother David went with me in 07. What's happening? Wonder why I got to preach on 5 of the 6 inhabitable continents. I ain't going to the land down under. I seen a crocodile man down there with a big knife and he looked a little unstable. Old Dundee. I ain't going down there. Well, here I go. And then the Antarctica don't count. There's nothing down there but penguins and 2 polar bears drinking a Coca-Cola on an iceberg that's melting. And I'm very sad for the polar bears and their last Coke. Saw it on television. Why has God let me preach on 5 continents? Why has God let me preach on in 30 states? Brother Dean, you must be quite a fellow. Not really. If you knew me before I knew him, and then if you'd have known me if he hadn't have got me, number one, you wouldn't even know me. I wouldn't be here. There were murderers and moonshiners on every other branch in our family tree, and I was due for a wrong branch. I ain't boasting. I'm ashamed of this. It embarrasses me. It embarrasses me. I don't want y'all to know, and I don't want her to know. But, I mean, I was in a police car twice before age 15. And just devils and trying to kill me before I got started. So I don't want you to think. And that embarrasses me. It does. And I don't want them knowing about that. You never got to run down that path. The testimony ain't worth it. That one testimony that rocks the world. Them guys, Brother Larry Barry, they wish they never had had none of that. How about you have a testimony that's impressive at the judgment seat of Christ? So why is God letting me preach in about 30 states, 5 continents? Now, some of them, I've only been there once or twice. It's not like all the time. Well, I think this will be the only brook we're going to visit tonight. Because my grandmother, now that great granny that went down there and shouted the tent, that was on Dad's side. So I got a grandmother on Mom's side. My grandmother, her daddy was an atheist. Her daddy's people, first governor of Tennessee, I think last name of Head. Or it could have been Severe. First governor of Tennessee, Brother Lamance, was a direct great-grandfather of mine. And there were doctors, there were scientists. They built the little city of Oneida for the to work on the nuclear bomb.
Oak Ridge,
but there's a little city up there somewhere, a little one. And they built it for my great-great uncle. He's the only one who could hold the fission together. They were trying to make that atomic bomb. May have been Clinton. And he's the only one. They could fission. I don't even know what I'm talking about. That little atom together, but they couldn't keep the formula together past 2 or 3 days. He's the only one that could keep it together for several weeks. But he got exhausted and burned out, and he left the project before he had a nervous breakdown. They said, "You got to come back. None of our scientists can hold this together." He said, "Well, you got to give me my own team and my own lab and let me build it." And so they made him his own little town to build the bomb. So on my mother's side, see, there was that kind of governors and scientists and doctors and lawyers. I believe that's it, brother. Yes, sir. What about that? That lineage. And so, my grandmother's daddy was an intellect. And he was an atheist. He was an atheist. The wise of this world, if they ain't careful, get too wise for the next world. And my grandmother, her name was Freda Bird. In the one room schoolhouse. Fall revival. One room school. I'm talking about a covenant. I'm talking about somebody's got to bleed to get in an agreement with God. Now His blood was shed to save your soul. That's all you'll ever need. But I'm talking about letting God separate you, letting God cut on you, letting God enter into an arrangement. It ain't to save you. It's to sanctify you. I needed to be a little more clear about that, didn't I, Brother Rick? You ain't shedding your blood for no sins. And most of you, it'll be a symbolic shedding and a cutting. And so in the fall revival, the custom was they turned the schoolhouse out and they went down to the fall revival, the church house next to the little schoolhouse. And the evangelist preaching the meeting at night, the big meeting, would preach to the school in the mornings. And my great-grandfather wouldn't let his daughter go. She had to sit in that little schoolhouse alone while all the other kids over there. And that man preached to them. Y'all, America was not built on Muslims. America was not built on voodoo. America was not built on Hollywood. But it wasn't built on paganism. There were three ships of people looking somewhere to have church and call on God. Old America. And my grandmother sat alone in that little schoolhouse. And the kids come back over. Well, they all got to getting saved. The power of God. And I'm about to climb this pole. I'm about to throw chairs. Thank God the little school teacher was a born again Holy Ghost woman. And she kept Frida behind. School's dismissed. Frida, stay here and talk to me a minute. I know your daddy won't let you go to the meetings in the mornings, but let me tell you what they're being told over there. And she told her the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sunday morning, my grandmother was 12. She walked out on the front porch. She didn't have a Bible. She walked out on the front porch on Sunday morning. And her daddy come out. Freda, what are you doing? She had a little cotton dress she put on. She said, I want to go to the church house on this Sunday morning. I want to go get saved. And he went into such a rage, Brother Tom, that he beat her. And when he got done, they were all afraid of him. When he got his rage out and stumbled off somewhere, her mama and sister come out and got her and brought her in. They was afraid to touch her till he was out of sight. He'd have beat them. And so her mama put that old-timey salve on her back where he'd beat her. And said my grandmother stitched her little dress up. And next Sunday morning, see, this suggesting y'all what possibly I might be doing here under all the blessings that the heavens ever had. And she stood there, Freda, what are you doing? I want to go to that church house and I want to get saved. And he beat her again. They brought her in. It's harder to tend to those whelps and cuts and stripes now. 2 weeks of them. She washed the blood out of her little dress and tried to stitch it. He'd grab up leather bridles and leather straps for horses and mules and beat them. Third Sunday is the reason I get to go everywhere I go. People don't even like me do things for me. God makes them. I stick my tongue out because I'm a little ornery. I have a superiority complex, me and Micah. I'm sorry. They said he stuck his head out the door. Go do what you want to do. She went and did what she wanted to do. She went down to the church. And if you think that I think she got saved on that third Sunday, if you think that I think that's when she got saved. She got saved when she walked out on the front porch knowing a beating was coming. Hallelujah. All of y'all got this thing worked out exactly how and when. No, he saw you coming. He saw you when you wanted him, and that's when he took you. You can make up the rest of that stuff and tell yourself whatever you want to. Salvation's of the Lord. Woo. She went down there and she got saved 3 weeks ago. She went down there and she married a preacher and lived for God, and she raised preachers, had little grandsons. And I was standing here because I had people in my lineage back there that knew how to be set apart and find God and go behind the barn and go on the front porch and go down to the house of God and enter into agreements with God that cost a great price. I'll tell you where that brook's going. It's going to take you down there, honey, where God has separated you and cut on you. Again, Miss Tanya and Brother David, would y'all come? Don't you love Joshua? You know, one of the favorite camp meeting sermons through the years is when the captain of the host of the Lord shows up outside them Jericho walls. Do y'all like that? Joshua, the Lord, the captain, shows up with a sword in his hand at Jericho. I love that. You know what got there before a sword? Knives. You back up in that chapter in Joshua and said, and they took knives and did circumcise themselves. But for 40 years, the flesh had been neglected to have been cut. The mark of separation was gone. The mark of separation, the mark of circumcision was gone. We got a little generation of reprobates and rebels and brats. Can't stay off social media. Whining about this and that of God. Said they took knives because they've neglected a whole generation. And when they put the knife to their own flesh, the Lord rolled away the reproach of Egypt. I wrote in my wide margin, if you put the knife to your flesh, he'll put the sword to your foe. If you'll take a small blade to your private life, he'll show up at Jericho's wall and pull a big blade. He'll kill giants. He'll take care of kings. How many kings did they kill over there? What, 32 or 33 and 5 and 5 and a cutting, a covenant. Elisha's brook. Elijah's brook. It's where he sets you apart. I want you to bow your heads. I want you to stand. Is anybody interested in letting God do that great sanctifying work in your life? Find you a place to pray. Find you a place to pray, young people. Find you a place to pray, dear young preachers. Missionary wives, you better find you a place. You're fixing to be set apart. You better get set apart before you're set apart.